From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
They come past the 16th. It's Gervin. Gervin, Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Gervin has won the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Conquest Mo Money, here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire.
Irish War cries in front as they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runners not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to another five-star edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just 7 days, 2 hours, 58 minutes, and 46 seconds away from the test of the champion. The Belmont Stakes will be there next Saturday, but for the moment, we're going to focus on the Grade 2 Penn Mile because that's the signature event coming up later today right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network with that coverage beginning 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and just for the record, heading to Jimmy John's after we finish the show today to go pick up a number 14. No tomato, of course, JT.
TMI.
You know, I like tomatoes. I don't like them on sandwiches, though.
Well, you know, everybody has their food rules. I live with a woman who has plenty of food rules. So, yes, I'm a little bit more open-minded about my sandwiches.
You can deal with a tomato or two?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. Mayo is something I'm not real keen on, but other than that, that's why I like the number 9.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I will be chowing down
on the Italian nightclub.
That sandwich later today. But in the meantime, we're going to spend a little time talking horse racing over the next 2 hours, and we are going to, as I mentioned, bring you that coverage of the Grade 2 Penn Mile. That's right, a Grade 2 this year for the first time, and rightfully so, when you look at the horses that have won that race. Now, keep in mind, this is just the fifth year that that race has been in existence here in 2017, and you look at names like Bobby's Kitten, Force the Pass, Catch a Glimpse, all winners of that race in its first four runnings. Wow, pretty good.
Yeah, Bobby's Kitten and Force the Pass are two of my favorite grass horses. You know, Bobby's Kitten, tremendous ability, and Force the Pass, what a nice horse he is. And we were there, you and I were there for the Force the Pass race. That was exciting. Cashed a little ticket that day.
We've been there for almost all of them.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, it's been a great relationship with HRN and with Penn National, and looking forward to that coverage coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Also looking forward to that Belmont Stakes next Saturday when we bring you that exclusive coverage coast to coast and worldwide here on the network. You can tune in beginning 2 o'clock Eastern Time next Saturday for our coverage of the Belmont undercard. That comes your way 2 to 5. And then at 5 o'clock Eastern, we segue to the network broadcast of the Belmont Stakes, and it should be one heck of a horse race. No chance for a Triple Crown this year, but Jude, we're looking at a big field, a competitive field, and even a little interest from across the pond and well beyond, with Japan being represented.
Yeah, Epicaris coming in, and a very talented horse, reportedly training well. But it's going to be a good field. That whole day is just awesome. Fantastic racing, Breeders' Cup style day, grade ones everywhere.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We got word that Conquest Mo Money was injured, will not contest the Belmont Stakes. Cloud Computing, of course, is also not running.
Yeah, and neither is the Derby winner, right? Always Dreaming.
Yeah, well, he was kind of out of it before this all began.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll see who ends up in the race, but the Belmont's always a good race, and Classic Empire had a breeze the other day, so he's coming around. And
He has to be the one to beat, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's won a lot of grade ones, and he's a talented horse. He's competed in the first two legs of the Triple Crown. He's super fit and doing well. So he's going to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Mark Cassy pick up that classic victory with a race like the Belmont Stakes.
I know he really wants it, and just because you want it doesn't mean you'll get it. But he's got a really good horse and a good chance in an interesting field.
All right, over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going to bring you interviews with several special guests to focus not only on the races in Pennsylvania with that Grade 2 Penn Mile. We're also going to talk about the race in California, the Beholder, where we are down to just three fillies set to go to the post, fillies and mares. And Jude, when you look at those three and you say, okay, it's only a three-horse field, this is one heck of a showdown. You have Stellar Wind, Val Dori, and Finest City all going head-to-head later today. And we're going to talk with John Sadler, who trains champion Stellar Wind. He's going to come up later in the show.
Yeah, he's done such a great job with her. She's a beautiful filly and runs hard every time. But, you know, the other two horses that were entered in the race were basically fillers anyway. The bad part about a three-horse field is sometimes it doesn't set up fairly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Is this going to be a fair race with those three horses?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a fair race, you have to assume, but it's not necessarily, you know, a true indication of what these fillies can do. But who knows, they might be noses apart on the wire. I mean, you know, Val Dori is just a really talented and beautiful filly. She's been flawless lately. And Finest City, you know, she's one that her distance ability is in question, but now she's getting 4 pounds from the other two because she's never won a race at a mile or over. So, you know, it's a good race. It's a interesting handicapping puzzle, not a race to make a lot of money on, but all three of those fillies have a chance, and we'll see who's best this afternoon.
Well, as we told you, several guests coming your way, not just John Sadler. John going to be with us in the second half of the show, right around 9:35 Eastern time, 9:25, right in that ballpark. So stay tuned for John. Jenny Bowman is the racing secretary at Penn National, and today's coverage at 6 Eastern is going to be handled by our colleagues, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Christina McManigal. Now, they are positioned at Penn National as we speak. So we're going to do something a little different on the Equine Forum here this morning. We're going to kind of tag team the show. Jude and I are here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. We will join Anthony and Christina at Penn National after our first commercial break, and they'll bring you that interview with Jenny Bowman live on site as they get set for that exclusive coverage later today. Then we'll come back here to Lexington. Ed DeRosa will join Jude and I, Ed with Brisnet.com and with Twin Spires. He's going to talk about the Penn Mile, and he's going to share his thoughts on the Belmont Stakes next Saturday. We'll do that right around 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern, we head back to Penn National as Anthony and Christina talk with trainer Tim Yachtin, who has made the trip in with his big, impressive winner, Big Score. We'll talk to Tim Yachtin coming up 9 o'clock Eastern. And as I mentioned, John Sadler right around 9:35 Eastern or so. And then we'll look ahead to the Belmont Stakes toward the end of the show. And it promises to be a good couple of hours for you here this morning on the Equine Forum. And happy to have everyone with us. Don't forget, if you miss any portion of this show or any of our shows, you can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out this show and all of our shows, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. All right, we need a poll question, JT. So here's what I thought we would do. So often people say, if you don't have a chance for a triple crown, well, people lose interest in horse racing. I don't believe that to be the case. Obviously, people that are just casual sports fans don't tune in or don't necessarily listen to a race like the Belmont Stakes if there isn't a chance for a triple crown. And I'm talking about people that just typically have no interest in horse racing except for that one event, and maybe for the Kentucky Derby. So here's the poll question today. From your perspective, do you find the Belmont Stakes without a triple crown as intriguing as it would be with a triple crown? Does that make sense? Am I saying it the right way?
Yeah, it's a way to say it.
You know what I'm getting at here.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know, are you as excited about the, are you still, there you go, that's a better way to say it. Are you still excited about next weekend's Belmont Stakes, even though we don't have a triple crown on the line? That's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
That's our poll question.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are you still excited about next weekend's Belmont Stakes, even though there is no triple crown on the line? Yes or no? We'll make it very simple. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter and let us know your thoughts. How about you? You still excited?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for the whole day, but the Belmont Stakes is always a fantastic race. I actually had somebody ask me that, why there wasn't more coverage of the Belmont Stakes since it was such a big race. Mm-hmm. And I had to explain that, you know, a lot of people's interest falls off after the Kentucky Derby. And then if there's no Triple Crown, you know, there's plenty of sports on, baseball and you know, we got the NCAA playoffs right now in baseball, and then the MLB and basketball. Yeah. And all, you know, so there's a lot of things going on. And people, you know, tend to do other things too at this time of year, like go on vacations or, you know, take the kids to the park or whatever. So lots of stuff going on. But I think Belmont Day is one of the most spectacular days of the year as far as great racing is concerned.
I mean, great racing, great wagering opportunities.
Yeah, it's right up there. And, you know, the New York thing is always kind of cool. A lot of people like New York. So, you know, I think it's got its place, that's for sure.
All right, well, there you go. Are you still excited about next Saturday's Belmont Stakes with no Triple Crown on the line? Yes or no? Weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to a break. When we come back, we're going to head up to Penn National. We'll join Anthony and Christina as they sit down with Penn National Racing Secretary Jenny Bowman. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Global View is next. He has four to make up. Far outside coastline, then with Divine Oath as they straighten for the drive. Here's Bobby's Kitten, who opens up now. Bobby's Kitten showing his true form. He's opened up four, coming to the 16th pole under Javier Castellano. Here's Global View chasing second, but no match for Bobby's Kitten. On to score decisively in the pen mile. It was Global View second. We'll have a photo for third here. Storming Inti or Divine Oath.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. This show for the entire month of June, presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment. Bobby's Kitten winning the 2014 Penn Mile. And Jude, he looked so impressive that day. You remember, though, people might forget, he came out of that 12th place effort in the Bluegrass Stakes here at Keeneland before winning that Penn Mile. And some people said, well, maybe Bobby's Kitten isn't all he's cracked up to be. Well, he put all those doubts to rest with that win in the Penn Mile.
Yeah, and then later on with the Breeders' Cup turf sprint.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think he was a horse going into that Penn Mile that was maybe a bit miscast in the Bluegrass. They took a shot, did the Ramsey's, thinking, okay, this is a very, very talented horse. He's a horse that could conceivably get us to the Kentucky Derby. Didn't happen, but as we know, things turned out pretty good for Bobby's Kitten and for the Ramseys after that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to his foals. I think he's going to be a fantastic sire and maybe be the one to take his sire's place down the line.
Yeah, he should be. Well, that was the 2014 running of the Penn Mile. This afternoon, the 2017 running, and we're going to have that coverage 6 o'clock Eastern time for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can tune in worldwide at horseracingradio.net, and you can do that on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, or your mobile device. So make sure you're locked in to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Jockey K-Mac, that's Christina McManigal. They will have that coverage for you live from Penn National, and that's where we find them right now on this Saturday morning. Guys, what's happening, Big A?
Good morning, Baron. Hi, Pontiff. Beautiful morning here in Grantville. Had a little bit of a rain shower about an hour ago, but sun's starting to fight through the cloud cover here. A couple of dozen horses right now on the track, and Christina and I were here yesterday doing Express Bet Radio. Track's nice and tight now. A little dusty yesterday, but this rain shower certainly seemed to tighten it up, and the turf course, Christina, could not look better.
It's beautiful here, Big A. A little chilly this morning, but yeah, everything looks great. Horses training right now on the track, and we're ready for a big, exciting day.
Yeah, Christina lacks the natural insulation that I have. Joined now here at Penn National by their racing secretary, Jenny Bowman, who did a fine job putting this 11-race card together today. Special post time here at Penn National. I know for those of you who have tuned into HRN the last few years for Penn Mile night, post time used to be 6 o'clock. 3:45 today. We'll run some of the undercard, 5 to be exact, before we get to the meat and potatoes, starting with the Penn Oaks. That'll be our first live coverage, live race, 6:10 is post for that. Jenny, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Great to be back here. We met last year for the first time. Yes. And beautiful morning. Couldn't ask for a nicer morning, really, especially now with the rain getting out. And I got to tell you, you guys have done a fantastic job with this card today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy with it. And I have to thank my assistant racing secretary, Alan Firestein, and the new stakes coordinator here. And he did a fantastic job reaching out to everyone and putting together what we have today. So it's really happy with it.
We always ask whoever comes on from Penn the past few years, whether it be Mike or myself or Jude, we've always asked, you guys thinking about expanding the day? And sure enough, this year, 2017, yes. Throwing a little money the PA Bread's way on the biggest night of racing here at Penn National.
Yeah, it's I think it's going to be a great night. This was Eric Johnston, the director of racing, his vision, and I think it's just made for a great day today, and happy to see what happens tonight. So,
Jenny, do you feel you guys have set the bar so high now that it's a graded stake? Do you feel a lot of pressure coming into today to really just bring the best product you possibly can. I'm sure it's stressful.
It's a little stressful, but I think everyone's just been so positive about it that I think, you know, as long as everyone's happy and healthy and sound at the end of the night, that it's going to be great kind of no matter what happens. And I think there's just so many nice horses that are showing up here tonight that we really appreciate all the support. And, you know, we're just happy. So, you know, it's going to be good.
5 years ago, you guys start this race, obviously ungraded, hung up a lot of money.
Yep.
In just 5 years, you went from a little bit of an innovative idea, because, you know, this time of year, the three-year-olds have the center stage, but nobody looks at the grass.
Right.
You guys have made everybody look to the – you got a mild dirt oval here, but the turf course is 7/8. Everybody looks inside the dirt course.
Yep.
And in 5 years, you went from an ungraded race to hosting the richest night – in the history of the racetrack, over $1.5 million on the line today.
Oh, my gosh. it's amazing, you know, that here we are in Grantville, Pennsylvania at Penn National, and we have, after, you know, a short amount of time, you know, grade two. And it's just due to everybody's effort and, you know, support, and I'm really happy about it, so.
Tell us how much work goes into preparing for a day like today.
Well, it's a lot of behind the scenes. You know, we have all different people here and their different roles, you know, from the stall manager and in the stable area, making sure our facilities are up to par for the horses coming in, and we want to make it as easy as possible for everyone shipping in. And, you know, we... just to have a good experience here at Penn National, we want to be good hosts. And so there's a lot of kind of behind the scenes hectic times, you know, but I think everyone is super hardworking here, and we all put on a good program. So,
and along the lines of what Christina was saying, you have everything from a $10,000 maiden claimer tonight to a grade two worth $500,000
right.
on the turf. So you're not only dealing with the local horsemen,
sure.
but just in the Penn Mile alone from the top down.
Yeah.
Todd Pletcher, Mike Maker, Mike Matz, John Sadler, George Weaver, Tim Yakteen, Christoph Quant. You got a couple of future Hall of Famers in there.
Exactly.
Javier Castellano. I know Eric gave us this amazing stat that I don't know if Tim Yakteen knows. He's coming on a little later on in the program. I think he'll be very happy to know that since you guys started the little Penn Mile Festival, the 16 stakes, the big four, if you will.
Yeah.
Javier Castellanos won 7 of the 16
wow.
races. He's got to feel pretty confident
yeah.
with the $500,000 hanging up
yeah.
there tonight for big score.
Oh, absolutely. That's amazing.
And it must be nice to have, I know we talk about this all the time, one of my favorite things about coming out to Penn National, besides Fabio's now, which Christina took me to last night, which is fantastic.
Very nice.
Is the fact that you guys have such a fun fan base. Like, this place will be raring to go tonight. You'll
yep.
have the food trucks to the right.
Yep.
Everybody will be out here enjoying a night at the races. Now an afternoon into an evening
right.
at the races. It's got to be a little treat for them to see some of the biggest names in the country come here
sure.
to Grantville.
Oh, yeah. We have, you know, social media and people contact us, you know, fans just loving to come out here and see the jockeys, see the trainers, see the horses, you know. So it's going to be a fun night, and, you know, we try to incorporate the fans into the festivities as well. So, you know, it's good for everybody. So,
yeah. And, you know, not only do you have the big names, but you have the horses, and one in particular who is I am very fond of. You got good old Paige McKinney here
yep.
tonight.
Yeah, that's I was looking at that horse this morning. I'm like, here he is again, and, you know, it's love to have him back, and, you know, it's pretty neat.
$1.5 million earned, almost 50 starts in his career.
Yep.
He's built. It's almost like you guys started from right, started from the bottom
exactly.
up. Nobody, you know, that wasn't one of these glorified pedigrees, but
exactly.
has grinded his way,
mm-hmm.
and now you guys host one of the. It's easily one of the funnest nights of the year, and now,
yeah.
you know, a great springboard is this Penn Mile. Just look back, and it's short history. You
yep.
have all of these horses, Bobby's Kitten,
yep.
Forced to Pass, Catch a Glimpse, the last three mm-hmm. winners, all grade one winners
yes.
in subsequent starts.
Yes, it's sometimes it's hard to believe, you know, me, and I came actually from the bottom up here, you know, and just to look at all the horses that are coming here, and it's, you know, wow, this is really happening.
Local,
you know?
Gal, right?
Yep. Yep. Born and raised here. So, you know, it's just great to see what's happening and developing here. So, you know.
When you were a kid coming out to the races, did you ever think you'd be not only a big part, and again, you guys have done a fantastic job, but
yeah.
not only be a big part, but see a night this glamorous, if you will, here yes. here at Penn National?
Well, when I was a kid, I would come to the races here with my grandparents, who owned some horses, and it, you know, you're a little kid running around with all the other kids that are here, and, you know, anything
I know
like,
what that's like.
Yeah. Anything that's happening now I would have never dreamed of, you know, even growing up here. So it's been pretty blessed. So,
who are you liking the big one tonight?
I don't know. I can't pick a favorite.
Couldn't get Eric to give me one. Yeah. I asked him who he liked. He said everybody.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's I really can't in a big race because there's just so many nice horses that it's really anybody's. You know.
Wide open.
Yeah.
So. Penn Oaks a neat little race, too. You got a yeah. horse and party boat who has danced a lot of dances and always comes with her A race.
Yeah.
Todd's Filly's run well. Adorable Miss.
Yeah.
She's run well in a couple of starts. I was I was super impressed with Spanish Harlem last time out.
I like that horse, too, yeah.
She was, yeah. I mean, they refused to give her that 30 lengths in the race for him. 29 and 3/4.
Yeah.
Refused. The Charcoaler refused to go to 30 lengths.
Yeah.
That's reserved at Belmont for special horses.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, she can change surfaces and run well as well. So
yep.
That's a nice race as well. That'll actually, like I said, start off our coverage here
okay.
on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 6:10 is that first post. We'll hit the airwaves 6 o'clock again over at horseracingradio.net. Jenny, thanks for a few minutes this morning.
Thank you.
Great
thanks
job.
For having me.
Keep up the good work.
Okay.
And we'll same bad time, same bad channel next year.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Jenny Bowman, the racing secretary here at Penn. As you can see, Mike, and here, they've done a great job here at Penn National and are ready for the richest night in the history of the Grantville, Pennsylvania Oval, over $1.5 million. On the line in this 11 race card. Back to you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Big A. We're back with Big A and Christina later on in the show here this morning on the Equine Forum. But JT, you think about what Penn National has accomplished with this race in a very, very short period of time. I can remember you and I sitting in that very same location where Anthony and Christina are this morning, right next to the finish line. And you think about the day that we talked about it being a graded stake, and that was a big deal. And now to have this race be a grade two, and rightfully so, very deserving of grade two status when you look at the horses that have come out of that race in just the first, what, four runnings. Simply spectacular what they've done.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And the place is just, beautiful. I mean, when you go there, you're really surprised. Because in the old days, Penn National kind of, you know, was the cheapest horses in the United States running there. And it was kind of decrepit and all that. And now you see what they've done with the track and the casino and the barn area. The barn area is fantastic. I mean, it's just great place to stable and they have year round racing. I know racing there in the winter can be a little rough,
yeah.
a little cold. I was kind of laughing because Christina said it was cold, but I know she rode there when it was like probably zero or below.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy, but beautiful place and a fun place to go and some interesting things to do. The Hershey Factory, not too far away from the racetrack, and a nice family place. You see a lot of people on vacation there with their kids and run like,
and really a pretty place to watch racing.
Oh,
you've got
gorgeous.
The hills right behind you there. It's kind of nestled in the hills of Grantville and
yeah,
very
beautiful
quaint
trees
racetrack.
And,
yeah.
And
very
nice,
quiet.
Nice setting. And, I can't recommend it enough. Whenever anybody brings it up, you got to go there. You're going to love it.
And they have craps at the casino.
Yes,
just
it's
saying.
It's a full casino.
Yeah.
They have table games as well as
I actually saved
machines.
Money by sending Anthony and Christina to go do
well,
this show. You know
I
that,
thought
right?
that might have been one of the reasons why you sent them, actually.
It was easier on the budget.
I've seen your action at Charlestown. Although you didn't do badly this year at Charlestown.
No, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
But you cannot count on the craps table as a retirement fund.
No. No, not even close. Penn National opened August 30th, 1972, which means they are now celebrating their 45th season of racing, and they do it with that Grade 2 Penn Mile coming up later tonight. You heard Anthony talk about the coverage beginning 6 Eastern right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tune in worldwide on your computer, smartphone, tablet, Bluetooth us in your car, all there at horseracingradio.net. All right, it is time now for your weekly Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And look, for nearly 15 years, I've been telling you on this program that if you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, and you are in the horse business, or if you're a horse racing fan, and obviously if you're listening to this program, you are, you need to go see the folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. Now, when you walk in their doors, they're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington. The first thing you're going to see is their lawn jockey. That's right, their lawn jockey, which tells you they're dedicated to the horse racing business. It is in the black and gold Lexus colors. You're going to see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. You're going to see Mike Hendricks and Dan Deffler and all the great people at the Lexus Store. They're horse people. They're in the industry. They've been in the industry, and they want to cater to you. They want to be the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky, and they are committed to doing that as a sponsor of the Lexus Raven Run every fall at Keeneland, and they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus Store. So when you're stopping in and you talk to the Godfather, first of all, you're going to want to budget a little extra time because he's going to talk about horse racing for about an hour, and then maybe you'll get to see one of those new Lexus vehicles. Head over to the Lexus Store, head over to the Keeneland shop at the Lexus Store, and enjoy a great experience. I promise you, you're treated like a king, like a queen. They will take care of you at the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to visit with Ed DeRosa from Briss right after this Lexus Legends of the Turf.
The World Championship of Thoroughbred Racing was on the line at the lovely, majestic Longchamp Racecourse just outside Paris on October 3, 1965, when the most prestigious Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe was about to unfold. And what a star-studded fielder was on hand to contest it. Meadow Court from Ireland, Oncidium from England, Aniline from the Soviet Union, Ragazzo, Soderini, Diatomy, Reliance, Caliph, Marco Visconti, Francis Great Seabird, the Big Chestnut, Little Tom Rolfe from America, and Free Ride, who was an entry with Diatomy. A huge crowd had gathered at the glorious Longchamp Racecourse, which in all its splendor was among the aesthetically most beautiful in the world. It exuded class, and there was class aplenty on the racetrack to match it on this day. In the paddock, Seabird, the big local favorite, looked somewhat skittish and was sweating, as was Reliance, although it was a very warm day and the sun was beating down. Tom Rolfe, the American entry, was calm and created a stir among the crowd as he was ponied during the post-parade to the start. French racegoers had not been accustomed to that practice at their races. Oncidium, the English horse, was showing signs of nervousness. Aniline, the Russian entry, was very businesslike, calm, and quiet. At the starting post, Oncidium caused some problems, but the rest of the field lined up in perfect order. At the break, Marco Visconti went right to the front. Caliph picked up to chase, and Meadow Court and Aniline were up near the front as well. Seabird, with Australian Pat Glennon in the saddle, and Reliance, with renowned Yves Saint-Martin up, were well-rated, in no difficulty, running fifth and sixth. They were obviously stalking the leaders, waiting for the right time to make that one big run. The going was on the soft side of Longchamp that day, and America's Tom Rolfe was showing definite signs of difficulty in handling it. He was far back and never really got into the hunt, so to speak. As the field rounded the bend and started for home at the top of the stretch, Glennon let loose on Seabird, and he chewed up huge pieces of turf with long, smooth strides until he veritably flew by the front quartet to assume command at the top of the straight to pull out to an open six-length lead. That incredible display of speed had shot him forward as though propelled by a rocket. Saint-Martin asked his mount Reliance for a move at the same time Seabird moved, but there was no way he could stay with the flying French chestnut. Seabird maintained the margin to win by six open lengths over the previously unbeaten Reliance, and it was another five back to Diatomy, with Free Ride fourth and Aniline fifth. Seabird had turned in a phenomenal effort, totally dominating the other 19 horses in the field, and he was now to be compared with the famous Rebeau. After retirement from the racetrack, Seabird came to stand at stud in America for John W. Galbraith, and as a consequence, his legacy lives on in the world of American racing. That performance, October 3rd, 1965 at Longchamp, in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Racing fans, come join us at Santa Anita this weekend. We'll kick things off on Saturday with a pair of Grade 1 $400,000 stakes. We'll honor the memory of perhaps the greatest jockey of all time with the Shoemaker Mile on turf. And for the first time, we'll present the Beholder Mile, honoring the four-time Eclipse Award champion that was trained by Richard Mandela. Don't forget the Belmont Stakes from New York is next Saturday, June 10th. First post time this weekend is at 1 o'clock. Admission gates open at 11, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler. Miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they arrive at the top of the stretch, it's Alex again. Alex again comes off the turn with a short lead. On the outside, Bonus Points takes aim. Graymont has had enough as they come down to the last furlong. It's Bonus Points. Bonus Points is rallying to take the lead. Alex again trying to dig in. Upper room, a late bid now third on the outside. Bonus Points in front, deep stretch. Alex again will be second to Bonus Points, who goes from last to first. Bonus Points strides home almost 2 lengths in front. Alex again was second, and then upper room in JJ's Candy.
Bonus Points, an impressive winner of the Parks Derby back on May 6th. and back in action later today. In the Grade 2 Penn Mile, Todd Pletcher, the trainer of Bonus Points, one of three horses entered into the Penn Mile by owner Three Diamonds Farmed, and we'll see if the son of Majestic Warrior can take home the top prize later today. Again, if you're just joining us, our coverage of the Penn Mile begins 6 o'clock Eastern Time this evening, 6 to 8. Make sure you're tuned in to the Horse Racing Radio Network at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. In just a little bit, we're going to check back in with Anthony and Christina, who are on site at Penn. They'll bring you that coverage tonight at 6 Eastern. So we'll check back in with them. They're going to be interviewing trainer Tim Yachtin coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Still to come, you're going to hear from trainer John Sadler in the second half of the show as he gets ready to saddle his champion, Stellar Wind, in this afternoon's Beholder at Santa Anita. He'll join us at 9:35 Eastern. And then Ed DeRosa from Briss and Twin Spires, we are efforting Ed at the moment and hoping that he'll join us here in a few minutes to talk about the Penn Mile and to talk about the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, that's a lot to talk about. Actually,
you and I were kicking around some thoughts on the Belmont during that Lexus Legends of the Turf segment here off air. And this is going to be an intriguing race on several different levels. And it starts with Epicaris, who comes in from Japan. Of course, last time out, beaten just ahead by Thundersnow in the UAE Derby, opted not to go to the Kentucky Derby, even though he was eligible via his Win in Your Inn victory in the Hyacinth, where he earned enough points. That was on February 19th. They said, you know what, we're going to skip that race. We're going to point for the Belmont. So much like Lonnie last year, we're going to see a Japanese runner in the Belmont.
Yeah, I think Lonnie might have been inspirational. He ran third, and
yeah,
so looks like it could be a good spot. This horse may be a little bit more talented than Lonnie. Excellent races. Won four straight and then finished second to Thundersnow in Dubai. So hopefully, you know, after he's here for a few days and gets a feel for Big Sandy, he'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he's come in early, plenty of time to get accustomed to it. How important is that, JT, when you have a horse like Epicaris, or any horse coming from out of town, let's say, who's never set foot at Belmont Park? How important is it to get them there early and get them acclimated with the surface?
Well, I think, you know, it's a little bit more than out of town. It's like transcontinental.
Yeah,
I mean,
this horse, he's a traveler. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a traveler. He went from Tokyo to Dubai, and then he went home, and now he's back here in the United States. And so he obviously is a horse that can travel. He doesn't take his racetrack with him. He's run at four different tracks in five starts and done well at all of them. So I think he's the kind of horse that will acclimate quickly and be able to be pretty tough. He's also, when you look at him, he's a three-year-old, but he was born in July.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a little bit of a youth disadvantage in this race. But the later it goes, the better. So he won't actually be 3 years old when he wins the Belmont, if he does.
Wow.
He'll actually be two and change, yeah. Which you know, might work against him a little bit. But, man, is he a good horse. So I'm looking forward to seeing him run, and I would imagine Christophe Lemaire is going to come riding.
He is going to ride him.
Yeah,
yeah, he is going to be aboard Epicaris in the Belmont next Saturday. Classic Empire, likely to be the favorite. Of course, people know him as the morning line favorite for this year's Kentucky Derby. Didn't go off as the favorite. He was sent off at nearly 7-1, finished fourth after a dismal trip, lost all chance at the start, really, but still ran on well in the Derby to be fourth. Came back with that heartbreaking defeat where he had an open length lead in front by three in the stretch, and he was run down at the very end in the Preakness Stakes. He loses by a head to Cloud Computing, but he's back as the likely favorite in the Belmont next Saturday. And, you know, another horse that comes back that ran in the Derby and the Preakness is Looking at Lee, and he's somewhat, I think, under the radar at this point. Nobody really talking about Looking at Lee. Trained by Steve Asmussen, who won the Belmont for the first time last year after defeating Destin. And now he comes back looking to win it again with Looking at Lee. And Jude, a horse is going to drop way, way out of it, try to make that big late run. not really the formula for success in the Belmont Stakes, but he can certainly finish.
Yeah, he can finish, and it's not really the formula for Belmont Park either. It's hard to make up a lot of ground on the sandy track, although we've seen horses do it. Looking at Lee, you got to give him credit. I mean, he brings his game every time. Now, his game is, you know, fall way out of it and make a run, but he does it every time. So I don't think anybody would be totally shocked to see those flowing locks of Steve Asmussen in the winner's circle.
Best hair in racing?
By far.
We used to say Bob Baffert had the most recognizable hair in racing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How about Steve Asmussen? No, he's right up there.
It's fabulous. It's some fabulous hair, I got to tell you. He looks like Neptune or something. So, good, solid horse. Tries hard every time. And I think a lot of that, looking at Lucky was a trier too, but the grandsire Langfuhr, another sire that gets hard knocking horses that try. And, you can't knock looking at Lee. I mean, he's banked almost $1 million and he's been in the money 7 out of 11 times. So that's a nice little horse to own, and I'm sure the owners have had a lot of fun with him.
One of the horses that I loved going into the Preakness, and he had a bit of a troubled trip here and there, but really no significant excuse, was Multiplier. And Multiplier was an impressive winner of the Grade 3 Illinois Derby at Hawthorne on April 22nd. And I thought, okay, if he comes back and he continues to improve, we know the horse can finish. He has tactical speed. Why can't he be the one to win the Preakness? Well, it didn't happen. He finished sixth. He was beaten 5 3/4 lengths in Baltimore. But now he comes back at Belmont Park, and he gets a mile and a half. With his speed, his early speed, he doesn't have to be on the lead, but I think that Joel Rosario is going to be able to sit a pretty comfortable pace with Multiplier. And if he finishes the way he did in his maiden win at the Fairgrounds and in the Illinois Derby, Multiplier becomes very intriguing to me in the Belmont.
Is Rosario going to ride him back? Has that been confirmed?
I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
Well, I think so. He's listed on the Brisnet Pass Performances as being the rider at this point.
Okay. So. Well, if he rides him back, I like him even more. I really like Multiplier. He went 36-2 the last 3/8 in the Illinois Derby, which is really, really good. I mean, and then his race in the Preakness was better than looked. It was sneaky good. And I think you're right. He's got enough tactical speed to stay in touch, and he's a grinder. He's going to keep running. And I love his trainer, Brendan Walsh, just outstanding trainer and really good guy. So I'll be using him on my tickets for sure.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. His pedigree, I don't know if that screams a mile and a half. It really doesn't. He's by the factor out of a Trippy mare. Now, Trippy, very good sprinter type. You have to wonder if the mile and a half is going to be a little too far for Multiplier based on his pedigree. But again, his running style certainly seems to suit what he's going to face at Belmont Park.
Yeah, and he's just a very relaxed kind of horse. When we interviewed Brendan prior to the Preakness, he talked about how, he's kind of a laid back guy. He doesn't really put a lot into his training. And he first race, he kind of lagged a little early, and he was running in the mud, but he kept to his task, finished third, got beat 2 lengths, and he just got progressively better and better. And I think he's still on that upward swing. Now, his speed figure in the Preakness wasn't that great, but they called that track fast. It was not fast.
No.
It had
moisture in it.
It was muddy. It was not good. He may not be the best in the mud. He may like it fast, and we'll see what it's going to be like on Belmont Day. But just a really nice, hard-knocking horse. I like him.
All right, and then we'll get a chance to see Tapprit. We'll see if he can rebound from his sixth-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. Skip the Preakness for trainer Todd Pletcher. He comes back again in the Belmont, and we'll see if he can put it all together. He was certainly well-meant after that huge win in the Tampa Bay Derby earlier this season. Then he kind of didn't run his race for whatever reason in the Bluegrass, and then in the Kentucky Derby again, had some traffic trouble, ended up finishing a relatively decent sixth. So I think Tapprit, there's more there than meets the eye. Could be very, very interesting. Heck, he's a $1.2 million yearling. They know this is a horse that was good-looking as a baby, and Jude, he could be very interesting next Saturday.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's got the pedigree to be a top horse. Now, he's a little sprinty, too. He's got Tappet on the top and then successful appeal mirror on the bottom. But he's got ability. We've seen how he can run. And if he trains good up to the race, I think it's a horse you must consider.
All right. We're going to go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll head back to Penn National. We'll check back in with the Big A and with Jockey K-Mac. That's Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal. And then we'll get you set for hour number two. A lot still to come on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Call 717-469-3235 for more information.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Oscar Performance is still toward the rail in fourth, 2 lengths off the lead, has room to run though as they come off the far turn, but has to catch Holiday Stone. Big score in behind horses in fourth. Sonic Boom is still there on the outside. Big score needing room. Oscar Performance lingering. Final furlong of the Transylvania. Holiday Stone has the lead, and Big Score is coming on from the outside. From far back, Macario's charging toward third. Here's Big Score chasing after Holiday Stone. And Big Score wins the Transylvania for Javier Castellano.
Kurt Becker with the call of that Grade 3 Transylvania. That was right here in Lexington, Kentucky at Keeneland on April 7th. And Big Score getting the victory that day by a half a length under Javier Castellano. He came back to finish third, beaten just a length in the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill on Derby Day. And now we see him in action later today in that Grade 2 Penn Mile. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff. We are with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios here this morning. Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal are on site at Penn National. That's where they'll bring you coverage this afternoon at 6 Eastern of the Grade 2 Penn Mile. Let's check back in with the Big A and with Jockey K-Mac. Big A?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, beautiful morning here at Penn National in Granville, Pennsylvania, right in the at the foothill of the Blue Mountains. People talk about the scenery out of Santa Anita, K-Mac. We've got some mountains of our own here in Grantville.
We really do, Big A. Beautiful morning, and can't wait for this evening.
Renovation break right now, so the horses are not training. They'll come back out in just a little bit. Racetrack in fine shape. We were talking yesterday, did the afternoon show here from here yesterday. Track was a little dusty yesterday. The water truck, we were here. I got here about 12:30 yesterday afternoon. Water truck had to come by a dozen and a half times. Mother Nature took care of the water truck this morning. A little shower, about 45 minutes. Talking to Jose Contreras, who's here for John Sadler, who has Sistron in the Penn Mile later on. But we'll talk to John, Mike, and Jude Will later on in the program. He was talking about it had rained for about 20 minutes, went on for about another 25 minutes after him and I chatted. So, yeah, the track's in great shape. We were talking to Eric Johnson, the director of racing ops, yesterday. They've only run two races over this turf course so far. So he used the term virgin turf course yesterday. It's had some time, and it certainly looks that this turf course seems to be thriving, and you got to think that little rain's going to help it as well.
I definitely think it will, and they do such a good job here at Penn. I've ridden over this turf course several times. And even when it's been in use regularly, it's always maintained very, very well. So I can only imagine what kind of great shape it must be in today.
Yeah, they'll run two other stakes here that we'll cover later on, 6 o'clock again, exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Two other stakes, they'll run the Penn Oaks. We talked about that a little bit with Jenny Bowman earlier. You got Christoph Clement sending in Noble Ready. Todd Fletcher has the morning line favorite in the 7 Adorable Miss, and you got Party Boat coming in, who's danced a lot of dances, already 8 starts as a 3-year-old, 4 wins, a second and a third, and then you got Take Cover, going to try to defend his title in the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup. They'll go as races 6 and 7, so yeah, turf course is great. You have plenty of experience riding here at Penn National. 7/8 turf course, mild dirt oval. Any nuances you can tell HR and Nation about?
Well, it's, you know, it turns on the grass, being that it's not a huge track here. They are fairly tight, so traffic could be an issue potentially in some of these races with large fields. But other than that, nothing really. It's, like I said, they maintain the track very, very well here. There's nothing really too concerning.
They're hanging up a lot of money here tonight, over $1.5 million. How do you get to it in this place? Any tricks to the trade here? Any little secrets that K-Mac had in the riding career?
I can't give away all my secrets, BK. Come on now. Come on. I mean, sounds like Javier is the one to talk to about that. He's the man who takes all the money here at Penn National on these big race days.
Oh, so. Tim just arrived. Don't spring it on Tim just yet. We'll tell Tim that in a little while. I want to get his reaction on the air. But for now, Barron, Pontiff, K-Mac's not talking. She has her secrets, and she's not telling us about them. I think she's worried that I might start reducing and try to ride this card here at Penn tonight. Back to you guys.
Wow. I don't even know where to go with that one. That's a lot of reducing, Big A. No offense, brother, but wow. As Jude would say, poor horse.
Yeah.
Right? K-Mac does realize she's not riding in the Penn Mile, right? It's not like she has to. She can divulge that strategy. It's okay. She knows that, right?
Sounds like she might be thinking of a comeback.
Yeah, I think she might be looking for a mount in the race next year. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, looking forward to that interview with Tim Yakteen coming up. He's going to join Anthony and Christina here in just a little bit as we kick off hour number two for you here on the Equine Forum. Don't forget, John Sadler is going to join Jude and I by phone from California right around 9:35 Eastern. John sending out Stellar Wind coming up in the Beholder at Santa Anita later today. And if you are just joining us, if you missed it earlier, that is only a 3-horse field this afternoon, but a good trio, a really good trio. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better three horses going up against each other. Stellar Wind, Val Dori, Finest City. How's that for you, JT?
Yeah, that's very good. Maybe the three best fillies in the United States other than...
Miss Temple City.
Well, she's a...
You see how I worked that in for you, though?
Yeah, she's a turf horse. I was thinking more of Songbird, but yeah. I mean, on the dirt,
yeah.
You know, Songbird's all world. So we'll see
when
her
are we
next,
gonna see Songbird again?
Next Saturday.
Is it next Saturday?
Next
is that
Saturday,
definite?
About, as far as I know. I mean, as definite as anything can be in horse racing.
Right, yeah. As of now.
As of now.
As of now. We'll
and speaking of Belmont Day, we were talking about Multiplier, and Marty McGee at DRF McGee had a really nice workout of Multiplier this morning on his Twitter feed.
Oh, the video, yeah.
Courtesy of Steven Skaggs from Brendan Walsh's barn. And just a really nice workout. I would say it was a breeze. He beat his company and looked really nice doing a beautiful day in New York, it looks like. So if you have time, take a look at Marty's feed, at DRF McGee, if you're interested in that work with Multiplier.
All right, good stuff. Second half of the show coming up next. It kicks off with Tim Yachteen, who is standing by with Anthony and Christina. And again, John Sadler, part of a very busy second half of the show this morning. We're back with hour two right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joe giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Royal Moan Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, and Impressive Edge. Canavera too little, too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Anthony Stabile, Christina McManigal are positioned at Penn National in Grantville, Pennsylvania, which is where they will provide coverage of the Grade 2 Penn Mile later tonight. That comes up 6 Eastern here on the network. You can tune in exclusively at horseracingradio.net, and you can do that on your computer, smartphone, tablet, mobile device. You can Bluetooth us in your car. You can listen anywhere in the world, horseracingradio.net, beginning 6 o'clock Eastern time. JT, we are just 7 days, 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 0 seconds. That's it. Away from the Belmont Stakes, the test of the champion next Saturday in Elmont, New York. And, of course, we'll be there with all that coverage, beginning 2 o'clock Eastern time next weekend. Also means we are now 1 hour closer to me chowing down on that number 14 at Jimmy John's.
And I'm awaiting cocktail hour after the Belmont Stakes. So we all have things to look forward to, don't we?
You have to wait until after the Belmont for your cocktail hour?
Well,
when has this ever happened?
I mean, I'm not going to not have any cocktails before the Belmont Stakes, but the best part is cocktail hour after the big races are run. You're either celebrating or commiserating, so we'll see what happens.
If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, you can head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of this show. All of our shows available for you on our website. And Sam Logsdon joined us this week on our Trainer Talk program presented by Fasig Tipton. Really enjoyable hour. If you missed it, you haven't heard it yet, head back over horseracingradio.net and check out the replay of that show. We had a lot of fun with Sam in studio here this past week.
Yeah, Sam was great, and it was very informative. It sounds really good because he came in studio. I wish more trainers would do that. A lot of times we have to catch guys on the fly, but he came in studio, and it was just a really fun interview. He's an interesting guy, he's got a bright future.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you another guy that has things moving in the right direction right now is trainer Tim Yachtin, and he has made the trip to Grantville, Pennsylvania for tonight's Penn Mile, and he is now standing by with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and with Jockey K-Mac, Christina McManigal. Guys, take it away.
Thank you, Baron, sitting here right on the finish line. If you're in the Grantville, Pennsylvania area, come on out tonight. Say hi to K-Mac and I. We'll be here all night long, just like Lionel Richie, getting ready for the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. It anchors a $1.5 million night, the richest night in the history of Penn National. And joining us now, the trainer of the morning line favorite, 5-2 on the board as we speak. Big score, trainer Tim Yachtin. Tim, thanks for taking some time out of a busy morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Got just one on the card today, but you got the one and the big one, and big score coming into this race off of a fine effort and a third-place finish in the American Turf on the Derby undercard. This race is really a perfect spot on the calendar to bridge that gap between a race like this and perhaps the Belmont Derby.
It is. It is. It was sort of a tussle between coming to Penn or competing at Belmont. Obviously, we went for the money instead of the glory, and that's the direction we're taking.
Yeah, $500,000 Grade 2 on the line here today. The Pennine Ridge is the race Tim is referring to over at Belmont. That's at a mile and an eighth. The Penn Mile, obviously, at a mile. Obviously, a good two-year-old. One half of his starts, finished fifth in that star-studded Breeders' Cup juvenile turf. And you came back off that break, a five-month break this year, dismissed a 10-1 in the Transylvania, and turned out the public couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, we took a break. Going into the Breeders' Cup, really excited. Our horse was doing fantastic. Unfortunately, we bruised a foot the day of entries going into the Breeders' Cup. So he ran a very respectable race, but I don't think he ran his A game that day, considering that, you know, it's a firm course. They were running in 33 on that course. You know, he went into the race. Obviously, we got him over the foot, but I think there probably was some residual. Gave him a breather, some time off, and encountered quite a bit of rain on our comeback, so it sort of delayed our comeback start. We had quite a bit of rain in California during that period. The Transylvania was a perfect comeback race for us. Everything went very straightforward, and hopefully we can just continue it from there.
You see a lot of improvement, a lot of development in this horse from 2-3?
You know, I think he was a pretty mature horse. I saw more development in him from a young, early 2-year-old till his late 2-year-old. And at that point, I think we've sort of stayed pretty steady. I wouldn't say that he's gotten any bigger or any stronger, but he's got a very good mind about him, and he's very push-button.
What did you think of his effort in that Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill?
His effort was okay. I was, we were looking at, repeating our effort that we ran at Keeneland. I don't know how comfortable he was with the cut in the ground. I wouldn't say that was his favorite going, but he ran a very respectable race. The two horses that we ran into are two very nice horses. Good Samaritan was the favorite in the Breeders' Cup for Belmont, and Arklo obviously had really taken to the turf well, broke his maiden very impressively, and then came back and demonstrated that was no fluke. And, he was really skipping over the ground.
We're talking with trainer Tim Yachtin. He has the morning line favorite. Big score in the Grade 2 Penn Mile here at Penn National tonight. $500,000 on the line. You look at his form, Tim, and you see win first out, then he was second. A win third out, then he was fifth. A win in the Transylvania, third in the American Turf. If you believe in the old in-out pattern on the daily racing form, you guys are going to be smiling pretty big right around 7:50 this evening.
Well, I hope we see that In-N-Out program because I definitely like In-N-Out.
And I'm going to give you, we'll give you a little, Eric Johnson, we're stealing this from Eric Johnson, the director of Racing Ops. And they do such a great job up here for this program, don't they?
They do a fantastic job. The whole staff has just been very accommodating. You know, your president of the HPBA, Sandy Martin, has just gone above and beyond accommodating all the horsemen from Southern California. And it has just been a very pleasurable experience. I can only encourage other trainers to come out and compete on this program in the future, because you definitely throw the red carpet out for us.
And you've been here for a few days now. You didn't just you've made your donation to the Horseman's Fund, aka the casino.
Absolutely.
And you got some Hershey in your life.
I got some Hershey in my life. Yeah.
Did you get any hot chocolate? I gotta take K-Mac for a hot chocolate. The best cocoa you'll ever drink in your life.
Yeah, no, I haven't done the cocoa. I was tempted to, but I did a 5-pound brownie instead.
Wow.
Yeah.
I call that Thursday, but yeah, 5-pound brownie.
Yes.
So Javier Castellano, who's aboard tonight, obviously, last 4 Eclipse Awards, going into the Hall of Fame this year. Since they inaugurated the Penn Mile back in 2013, they've run 4 stakes every year. 16 races in the last 4 years. He's won 7 of them.
Well, you definitely want him on your side of the fence, don't you?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Sure do. And he's ridden Big Score now for the last 2 times. Excellent ride in the Transylvania. Like you said, and you mentioned the giving the ground. Good turf course at Keeneland. A lot different from the way the turf course was at Churchill on Derby Day.
It was. I mean, we had gotten a substantial amount of rain the week up to the Derby. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
And it was cool that week, too, so
yes,
no real
was.
Drying out at all.
And we had a fan, you know, Javier gave him a great ride Derby weekend in the American, you know, there was no trip excuse, you know, so.
Where do you envision him sitting tonight?
Well, I think there's going to be an honest pace in the race. And the nice thing about Big Score is he's very push-button. It's a matter of where Javier wants to place him, you know. I think, you know, we'll have an honest pace, but he doesn't need to be, you know, 80 out of it. He can pretty much sit wherever he wants to. If you look at his Zuma Beach race, the fractions were pretty pretty strong in that race. Let me take a look here. So they went almost 44-4 for the half, and we were a length off of that, you know. So, you know, again, he's very manageable on wherever you want to place him.
How has Big Score handled the traveling? I know you kept him in Kentucky between the Transylvania and the American Turf, and now he went back home before tripping back out. He's handling all the ship okay?
He's handling it super. Actually, I weighed him before he came back out, and he had put on 30 pounds in the last 3 weeks. So he's doing well. He's doing exceptionally well.
Put a lot of money up here tonight. You mentioned about how you could have went to Belmont, decided to come here. Hopefully it turns out to be the right decision. Provided all goes well this evening, do you keep a race like the Belmont Derby in mind to maybe stretch out to that mile and a quarter on July 8th?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be, you know, the feather in our cap. You know, if we could run a big race here and be lucky enough to get invited to the Belmont Derby, we would love to take that challenge on. I don't see distance being a limiting factor. I've never seen or gotten an impression of getting to the bottom of him, you know. So, but 10 furlongs until you run it, you never know, you know. So,
well, you certainly have one of the big boys, no pun intended, with Big Score in the 3-year-old turf division. Now you've come out to support a great night here at Penn National. Hopefully, you are rewarded, my friend, with a victory. That In-N-Out pattern holds true. They'll be taking your picture tonight with Big Score in the winner's circle here at Penn National for that Grade 2 Penn Mile. Tim, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get back. We'll let you go find that hot chocolate. And good luck tonight.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck, Tim.
All right.
Take care.
Tim Yakteen has the morning line favorite, Big Score, in the Grade 2 Penn Mile tonight. Seems pretty confident, Mike. Back down to you guys in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios.
All right, Big A, Christina, we're back with you in just a little bit as we edge closer to John Sadler coming up in just a little bit. But Big Score for Tim Yakteen, one of the horses to beat, maybe the horse to beat. You heard Anthony say 5-2 on the morning line for tonight's Penn Mile. And who better than Javier Castellano at Penn National on this particular night? That statistic simply phenomenal, mind-boggling how good Javier has been. And he has another great opportunity here aboard Big Score, JT.
Yeah, and Big Score is a really nice horse, and he's by Mr. Big, who nobody knows who that is. Very right. Few people, but he's actually kind of a pet of owner George Krikorian. Mr. Big was a really nice horse by Dynaformer, and he doesn't have many foals, but this
$6,000 stud fee, by the way.
Yeah, and probably that's the advertised stud fee.
Right.
I think if you had a really nice mare, it might be complimentary. George is a very philanthropic guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, it's kind of a great story. He's a homebred, and you know, it's really cool. He's got a nice record: 6 starts, 3 wins, a second and a third, $266,000. Looking to add to that here with the $500,000 purse, so he'll more than double his earnings if he wins this race. And just a really cool horse, Tim. Such a great guy, and what a resume he's got. Former assistant to Charlie Whittingham and Bob Baffert. So it doesn't get much better than those two.
I want to go and ask you about the horse to his outside. That's Frostmourne. But before I do, we'll remind people that when they go to our website, horseracingradio.net, they can check out the podcast of all of our shows, but they can also check out the podcast of our Weekend Stakes preview show, which is presented by Naira Betts. Now, that's a show every week, every Friday night at 6 Eastern. You and Anthony walk through all the big races coming up over the weekend. And this is one race you talked about, was the Penn Mile. But there are other races that people can listen to and hear your analysis when they go listen to the Weekend Stakes preview. How about Frostmourne? A horse that's owned by Green Lantern Stables, Christophe Clément, notorious for getting horses to fire big on the turf. 3-year-old son of Spitestown. Where do you see Frostmourne fitting into this year's Penn Mile?
Well, at 3-1 on the morning line, he's obviously a horse that belongs in the race. But my problem with him is his turf figures are a little light. You know, I think the mile's a good distance for him. He handles any kind of surface. He's won on a yielding. He's won on a firm. A very nice horse in Spitestown, obviously one of the great sires in the United States. He's out of a theatrical mare. I mean, the horse has got the pedigree. He's got Christophe Clément, which might be the biggest plus factor in a turf horse. So I think Frostmourne certainly has a chance. He's got great tactical speed. Irod sticking with him. So there's lots of things to like about him.
Yeah, lots of things to like indeed. And a very competitive running of the Penn Mile coming up later this evening. Our coverage, 6 Eastern here on the network. All right, we're going to get to a break, but before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's a good one for you. Alvarado set for return from leg fracture. Jockey Robbie Alvarado, who has been sidelined with a fractured leg since April 23rd at Keeneland, is named to ride horses June 8th at Churchill Downs. Incredible. He said, quote, "I've been putting myself through a bunch of training on our farm. I've been doing a lot of physical therapy as well, and my leg feels great." Alvarado, now 43 years old, galloped 2 horses for trainer Dale Romans the morning of June 2nd. It was Alvarado's first time on horseback at Churchill since he fractured his leg nearly 6 weeks ago. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Remember to check out Blood Horse Daily and have the latest racing, breeding, industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app. It's updated throughout the day or delivered to you daily in an email. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. How cool is that story, JT? I mean, jockeys, we talk about how tough they are all the time, and we do so much here on the network to support the PDJF, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. Robbie Alvarado, 6 weeks ago, breaks his leg, and now here he is looking at a return on June 8th. Pretty incredible, really.
Yeah, it's a tribute to medicine. You know, the difference in treatments now, the great innovations that have come along in the last several years, and we wish Robbie all the best. He was on kind of a nice roll when he got hurt. It seems like that always happens when the jockeys start, you know, getting on a winning streak and things start going good. Something like that happens, and Robbie's had some bad luck over the years with missing the Kentucky Derby and things, getting injured. So we wish him the best when he comes back. And I know he's a favorite of yours and a guy that you believe should be in the Hall of Fame. He's won over 5,000 races, and he's won most of the big ones.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Nominated this year. Didn't get into the Hall of Fame, but he was on the ballot this year. And we'll see if that happens over the next couple of years for Robbie Alvarado. But want to wish him all the best as he gets ready to make that comeback on June 8th. We'll get to a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won three grade ones.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in faith is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford wins the claw.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
The graded stakes-winning son of Bernardini is off to a sensational start at stud. Among the leading freshman sires by winners and graded stakes horses, his first crop two-year-olds commanded prices up to 36 times his stud fee. Leading progeny include TD and Rising Star Recruiting Ready, second in the Bashford Manor Stakes, and stakes place performer Junker. The pedigree, speed, and class to become the next star in this sensational sire line. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Big, handsome, looking good in the Paradise Creek. Won by about 6 lengths over Kitten's Cat.
Big Handsome, the son of Darley Stallion Street Boss, cruised to his third consecutive victory with a 5.5-length romp in the Paradise Creek at Belmont this past weekend. His 98 buyer speed figure is the highest for any 3-year-old on turf this year, making Big Handsome your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry. In addition to Big Handsome, Street Boss is the sire of 2016 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks heroine, Catherine Sophia, plus Grade 1 winners Capo Bastone, Danza, and Decked Out in America, and the quarterback in Australia. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. This show for the entire month of June, presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment. Can't wait to get back up there in early July to bring you coverage of the Queen's Plate for the second consecutive year. Should be a lot of fun, and Woodbine in full swing now, so make sure you check out all things Woodbine at woodbineentertainment.com. JT, we talked a little bit earlier about Tim Yachtin. Of course, he joined Christina and Anthony. They're on site at Penn National for the Penn Mile tonight. That coverage beginning 6 Eastern here on the network. But we also talked about the Belmont Stakes, and we'll have that coverage for you next Saturday. Our undercard coverage begins 2 o'clock Eastern time, and then we segue into the network broadcast of the Belmont at 5 o'clock. So basically, from 2 to 7 next Saturday afternoon, you're going to want to join us on the Horse Racing Radio Network as we bring you coverage of that stellar undercard, which is presented by visitbarbados.org, and then we segue into that coverage of the Belmont Stakes. So a lot of action next Saturday in New York, and should be a lot of fun. And our thanks to the folks in Barbados for making it all possible again this year.
Yeah, well, everybody knows my affection for Barbados that listens to this program on a regular basis. And, you know, if you're going on vacay, you should go there. You should go to the races, check and see the schedule at BarbadosTurfClub.org, and you'll have a great time. And Barbados, besides the racing and the beauty of the island, the people are the thing that makes a difference there. The people are so welcoming, and everybody just seems to be in a good mood all the time. Tough to be in a bad mood when you wake up and you see the Caribbean Sea or the Atlantic Ocean if you're on the other side of the island. Both are beautiful in their very unique ways, and it's just a great place to go.
Yeah, we had several people this year that we ran into in Barbados that told us they were there because they've heard us talk about it here on the show. So thank you for supporting us and for supporting our sponsor and for taking a little trip to Barbados. It's not a bad place to be by any stretch of the imagination, and you can take in some great racing and really enjoy something special. We threw out a poll question today, and you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And the poll question was this: are you still excited about next Saturday's Belmont Stakes, even with no Triple Crown on the line? And we said, okay, yes or no. It's very simple. Well, so far, most of HRN Nation extremely excited. 82% saying, yeah, I'm still excited about it. Only 18% weighing in and saying no. And then we had one great comment where at Swiss PC, let's make sure I have that correct. Yeah, at Swiss PC weighed in and commented on the post and said, you get to see Songbird and other great horses run. So it kind of comes back to your point you made earlier, Jude, that it's not just about the Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes itself is awesome, the third leg of the Triple Crown. But then you get to see so many great horses on the undercard, too.
Yeah, I mean, the whole day is just fantastic. And, you know, I've had people say, I don't know if I want to go to the Belmont this year. And I go, are you nuts? That's like the best day of racing that you're going to see up until maybe Traverse Day.
Yep.
Right? So just fantastic, and it's well worth going.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Songbird. I want to see how she comes back, and, you know, will she be as brilliant as she was before? It, you know, let's just see.
Well, she'll be good.
she's pretty good.
She'll be good.
She's pretty good.
Yeah.
Were you ever concerned when you had a horse? I know you never had a Songbird in your care, but when you had a really good horse and you were bringing him back from a long layoff like that, were there some anxious moments when they were going to the post in that comeback race?
You know, the nice thing about good horses is they give you confidence. We hear trainers talk about that a lot, and jockeys, you know, when you know the horse is good. One of the best days of my life was with a mare named Steffi Graf, and she was coming off an 8-month layoff. She was running the Golden Poppy at Golden Gate Fields. And, you know, she had trained so good, and I was so confident that she was going to win. It was a grade three. It was a really nice field. The track came up off, but she liked the mud. The problem was it was strictly a closer's track that day. And the late Kenny Skinner, who was a fabulous jockey from Canada, was on her that day. We had flown up from Santa Anita. And Kenny comes to the paddock, and he says, Jude, speed's not sticking. And I said, Kenny, just take this filly to the lead. Do not worry about it. She is so good right now. And she went wire to wire. And Kenny came back and he goes, boss, you were right. And I go, you know, she just was so good. And I was so confident, and she paid a lot of money, typical of a Jude Fell trainee. She paid like, I don't know, maybe $40. I had tons of money when I left the racetrack, and it was one of the best days of my life. The fun part of that story is I bought all the drinks. I told the stewardess that, flight attendant these days, but in those days a stewardess. Yeah. That's how long ago it was. And I said, all the drinks are on us when we got on the plane. And she says, really, sir? And I said, yeah, just tell me how much it is at the end and I'll give you cash. So couldn't do that anymore either. Now right. Everything's on a credit card. But 50 nuns get on the plane. 50 nuns and Kenny Skinner and I and a few other assorted passengers going back to Burbank
not big drinkers.
Not big drinkers. A couple of them had beers, a couple of them had glasses of wine, but not big drinkers as a rule. So the bar tab for the entire plane was less than 100. It was like one of the
this
greatest
things. Your day.
That was just my day. And then we get to the airport and some of my clients were there with champagne, again, before 9/11 and confetti. And the people on the plane are going, even the nuns, who are these guys? They're like celebrities or something. We were nobodies, but we had the best day. It was just a day I will never forget. And I was so confident and I didn't worry about the race or anything. I just knew she was going to run good.
Yeah, well, we'll see if Jerry Hollendorfer can have that type of day next Saturday with Songbird as she takes on, well, the other likely probables. Karina Mia for trainer Bill Mott. You have Highway Star. You have Paid Up Subscriber, also probable for that race. So it figures to be a pretty good one. Songbird, no doubt going to be the class of the Ogden Phipps, which mile and a 16th, 750,000, grade one. Hey, it's going to be a great day of racing, and you'll hear it all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make us your home for all things Belmont beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern time next Saturday afternoon. And, of course, this show, the Equine Forum, going to be hosted live from Belmont next Saturday morning with several special guests. So make sure you're locked in there, too. You can see a complete schedule at horseracingradio.net. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Beholder Stakes and a little bit about Champion Stellar Wind. And we'll do it with her trainer, John Sadler. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fung pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fung's the leader. Dre Fung has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fung that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fung being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Call 717-469-3235 for more information. Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, boasting five Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five race. race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first four dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop two-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And here comes the acid test for Terra Promessa, just a half length in front of Stellar Wind. 3.5 back to Streamline is third. The stage is set in the Apple Blossom, Stellar Wind and Terra Promessa, and they are even coming to the final furlong. Stellar Wind to the outside. Terra Promessa counter punches from the inside. Stellar Wind narrowly in front. Terra Promessa just can't quite go with her, and the champion is back. Stellar Wind wins the Apple Blossom. Stellar Wind won a length and a half. Terra Promessa valiant in defeat. Streamline third.
Fixed Offer with the call of the Grade 1 Apple Blossom at Oaklawn on April 14th. That was the most recent outing for champion Stellar Wind and also her most recent victory. A good performance that day. She returns this afternoon in the Grade 1 Beholder at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And privileged now to be joined by her trainer, John Sadler, who has saddled more than 2,300 winners in a stellar career and now looking to add to that resume with a win in the Beholder later today. John, I know it's a busy morning for you. We appreciate you taking a few minutes, my friend.
Thanks. I'm glad to be on with you guys.
John, when you hear that call of the Apple Blossom and you think back on that performance, what comes to mind when you think about how she performed that day?
Just were really happy with her. You know, there wasn't an abundance of speed in there, and that filly actually was on a pretty easy lead for Victor. Rode a good race to reel her in and you know, kind of grind down on that other filly. So we were really happy with the comeback race. You know, I think Oaklawn's a really nice place to race horses. I like the surface. So it was everything we were hoping for.
You know, we've known one another for almost 40 years. I don't know how we don't look like it, but you have done such a great job with this filly. And despite all of the winning and stuff that she does, you have like a sixth sense of knowing when to stop on her and give her a little break and then bring her back and she performs great. What's the key to that? How do you do that?
Well, she's just a filly that we thought at three would be better at four. We kind of always pegged her as a late developer. She's very much a girl. You know, she's not one of those mares that's the, you know, the huge, big Martina Navratilova type. You know, she's very feminine. So I know she likes spacing. She's had, you know, a few times where we've shipped her and we wanted to give her time like at the end of the year. It's always been, you know, because right after a three-year-old year, the program is to, you know, go back for the Breeders' Cup the next year. So she's just had the winter off and she's such a nice filly. It's been easy. And I have an owner that's very understanding of that she's, you know, not one that can go all the time. So we space her races and she's doing great.
John, we were talking earlier about this field now being just a three-horse field, but you look at those three mares that are going to go to the post, and you see Valdori, and you see Stellar Wind, and you see Breeders' Cup winner Finest City, a really, really competitive race. How does it affect the running of the race when you have just three horses in there, or does it affect it?
Yeah, it's going to be tricky, you know, being the favorite, you know, you're really worried about all the, you know, does it play like a match race? What's the other guys going to do? But you know, for me, Victor's ridden her in all of her races. He knows her really well. He's going into the Hall of Fame this year. So I just got to trust in Victor that he comes up with a plan that he wants. And, you know, all things being fair, I mean, I think we have the best horse. So I just hope it goes well. And I think Victor would tell you, you know, he's not going to decide what his plan is until he comes out of the gate and sees whatever how the break goes.
Yeah, it's tough in a three-horse field, and then you're in the middle, which doesn't right. really help you much. But you could get a perfect trip if the other two fillies just decide to bust out of there and go. You could really be the beneficiary, but I know that's probably not what you want to do.
Well, like I said, we just don't know how it's going to play out. But, I mean, she is fairly versatile. You know, he knows if the pace is fake. We learned that last year. You can't let a beholder or maybe like, you know, one of those really good speed mares just kind of, you know, lollygag in front. So he's going to be cognizant of that, and then we'll see what he does.
John, we know you have to go. Before we let you go, a quick comment on Sistron, who goes postward in the Grade 2 Penn Mile on the East Coast later this afternoon.
Yeah, really nice horse. He won a stake at Oaklawn. He's been never run a bad race. I think he's a little better on grass. That's why I'm going back to grass today. And he's definitely, about a miler. So the conditions are just right for him today. And he's a good, honest horse. And really happy to get this Paco Lopez on him. I think it'd be a good fit.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. Go back to work and good luck. Let's pull off the double with Great Stakes today.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, John Sadler here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Yeah, you can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com, the official apparel of the horse racing lifestyle. It's all there at EmbraceTheRace.com. It could be a big day for John Sadler. I mean, that is kind of a Captain Obvious type of statement, but if he can win the Grade 1 Beholder and then come back, and if Sistron runs well and maybe even pulls off a victory in the Penn Mile, and let's face it, Sistron is not out of it. He's 6-1 on the morning line, and the morning line odds maker is saying this is a horse that has some ability. Obviously, when you look at his resume, maybe not as accomplished as some of the others, but Jude, he's been knocking on the door, and he's run some pretty good races.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a nice horse. I mean, who wouldn't like to own him? He's by the factor.
Yep.
His Northern Spur race was excellent. That was on the dirt. John says he's better on the turf. It looks on his form like that's absolutely the case, and you got to trust a guy that's won 2,300 races. So John knows what he's doing. He obviously didn't ship for the free lunch because he's going to be at Santa Anita.
Right.
So Sistron absolutely has a chance.
I really liked your comment about Stellar Wind and being in between horses. Again, only a three-horse field in the Grade 1 Beholder today, but she'll break from the middle. So she'll have Val Dori down to her inside. She'll have Finest City on the outside. You have to assume that Finest City is going to go to the lead, right? And,
yeah.
And Val Dori has speed, too. Right. So you said could sit a perfect trip. Stellar Wind could be just in a stalking position behind those two.
Well, you know, John mentioned a match race, and in a match race, you always want to be on the lead if you can. That's the prevailing theory.
Yep.
But I could see, and I hope this doesn't happen, but I could see Rafael Bejarano like angling out at the start and Mike Smith angling in at the start and seeing Stellar Wind like not in a good spot. But John's confident because he says he has the best filly in the race, the best mare, actually. And so, you know, I mean, I don't think any of them are going to be too far away from one another. You're going to see a pretty much balls-to-the-wall race all the way around there. The interesting thing is, John was talking, I was looking at the other short fields that Stellar Wind has been in, and the 2 5 horse fields, she won both races. So
yeah.
Short fields don't seem to bother her any.
Yeah, and I think Stellar Wind, in my opinion anyways, is the one mare in that race that if things didn't go well at the start and she finds herself a little further back. Now, let's face it, it's three horses. She's not going to have to, you know, weave through 20 horses like you would in a Kentucky Derby, for example. But if she doesn't get off to the greatest of starts, the other two are in front of her. I think she's the one that has shown the ability to sit a little further back and to still finish and still run her race. Whereas the other two, Val Dori, she comes into the race on a 6-race winning streak. She's been very good. Finest City, we know she's a Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint winner. They seem to run their best races when they're up close to the pace and on the lead.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think if it's clean at the start, the filly on the outside, Finest City, is going to blast off and go to the lead. And Rafael Bejarano will absolutely assert himself from the rail. So you've got those two going. Victor's not going to take any prisoners, but he might be able to move outside into a little bit better striking position. If those two go at some point, depending on how fast they want to go early. But it's going to be interesting. For a three-horse field, there's a lot of intrigue, I have to say. And it's three unbelievable mares. So, looking forward to it.
All right, we're going to check back in with Anthony and Christina at Penn National as we edge closer to the end of the program at 10 o'clock Eastern. But before we do that and before we kind of get to our next commercial break, it is time for your monthly KTA-KTOB Spotlight segment and a look at some of the headlines from KTA-KTOB. And look, Kentucky bred, we all know it means quality, and it means quality worldwide and at home. Kentucky breds will continue to compete for some of the most lucrative purse structures in American racing, and they'll do it across the five tracks here in the Commonwealth. Now, after the current Churchill meet ends, racing picks up at Ellis Park with its strong juvenile program, which launched the careers of Kentucky Derby runner-up Looking at Lee and Kentucky Oaks second-place finisher Daddy's Little Darling. Now, in September, a unique five-day all-grass meet will be conducted at Kentucky Downs with, how about this, $8.4 million in purses. That's right, $8.4 million at that five-day meet, including an enhancement from the KTDF, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, 8 black type stakes and 3 graded stakes to be contested at Kentucky Downs. Included in this is an average daily purse offering of $1.68 million. That's right, per day, with $130,000 maiden races set to be run at Kentucky Downs. If you can't tell, it pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more. And we're back with more right here on the Equine Forum right after we take this short break on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This show all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler. Miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus
experience.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They start to swing for home, and still up front, challenging for the lead at the moment, and kicking along on the inside is Epicaris, along this leader at the moment in Adorado. Adorado has it now from Epicaris, starting to roll on his Captain King out wider. Holding it together on Adorado is Utakatake, but here comes looming up on the inside is Christophe Lemire on Epicaris. Epicaris and Adorado doing battle along the inside. Epicaris finds the lead, starts to stretch away from Adorado. Epicaris and Adorado, Epicaris, Adorado, Hypernova waiting for third, but it's 4-for-4 for this very good son of Gold Allure.
That was Epicaris winning the Hyacinth Stakes in Japan back on February 19th, the race that earned Epicaris enough points to run in the Kentucky Derby, but instead they headed to the UAE Derby in Dubai. Well, all Epicaris did was finished second, beaten ahead by Thundersnow that afternoon. Again, plenty of points to get into the Kentucky Derby. The connection said, nope. We're not going to run for the roses. We're going to wait and take on the test of the champion, the mile and a half Belmont Stakes, next Saturday. And we're going to see Epicaris in action coming up just 7 days, 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 9 seconds from right now.
Yes.
The I had run, to sneak in the countdown one more time.
The run for the Carnations.
Yes, the run for the Carnations.
We love Carnations.
We do love Carnations.
White ones.
Do we love Epicaris in that spot?
We don't love him, but we like him.
He's one of the ones.
He's got a chance. That would be off the hook if a Japanese horse won the Belmont.
Well, I wonder what the Big A thinks about Epicaris. Remember, the Big A has become known as the Beast of the Belmont because he seems to pick the winner of the race every single year. Big A, what do you think? Epicaris and everybody else?
I prefer Beast this week of the year, Mike. But, yeah, you know, he's an interesting sort, training uphill over wood chips. Had his last work this past week before the quarantine and coming on over. Had a little delay getting over. I know the plane, there were some technical issues with the plane, so he was about 12 hours delayed. But he arrived at Belmont Thursday right around 3:30 when we went on the air. And he seems to be settling in nicely. His trainer, Mr. Hagawara, has said that he'll work either Tuesday or Wednesday over the main track or at Big Sandy. So, yeah, we'll get to see him. And it's an interesting bunch. I'm looking forward to the race, as I do every year. And, you know, when you don't have a Derby winner or a Preakness winner, I think you have the next best setup because it usually makes for a very good betting race. And if you're like me and think it might be a little tall task for Classic Empire, 4 races in 8 weeks, and he's going to be even money, I think there's some value. So we'll have fun with the test of the champion. I don't have an exact countdown, Mike. I'm sorry, but it's seven days in about 10 hours.
You know, Big A, I've been in racing my whole life and been going to the races a long, long time, and I've never heard anybody say training uphill over wood chips. That's a first for me.
Yeah, I've said a long time ago, in this sport, you've seen everything, because we're never going to see everything. So, yeah, uphill over wood chips at some point. You know, we're used to betting them down on shavings, but now they're training over wood chips. And if I would have told you 30 years ago, Jude, you'd be running a horse on something called all weather, and it was made up of bits of rubber and fiber and didn't get sloppy and drained, you would have told me I was crazy too, but we've been doing that, so we've seen it. We're never going to see it all in the sport, but yeah, you know, different countries and different jurisdictions, they do different things. And hey, listen, why not this year? It's been a pretty crazy Triple Crown trail. Why don't somebody from the land of the rising sun? Lonnie almost did it last year. If Lonnie didn't wind up in Brooklyn from the Queens Nassau border with the wide trip, maybe he would have won the Carnations last year. So it's not like it's out of the realm. They fell, what, a length and a half short last year? So it'll be interesting. I'll tell you what else is interesting. We got a nice little grade two here in Grantville tonight. The Penn Mile will go as race number 9 on the 11 race card. Again, the richest night in the history of Penn National. They've been around 45 years. This is their 45th season of racing. So the million and a half on the line over an 11 race card. We were talking to Jenny Bowman before. Everything from a maiden 10 claimer to a grade 2 worth a half million. K-Mac, we will be here live tonight, 6 to 8. Exclusively at horseracingradio.net. You could tune in on your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop. I still have a laptop. That's what I tune in on when you guys are on site. But it'll be us on site tonight as we're watching them wrap up training here on what's turned into a beautiful morning in Grantville. Little breeze coming in, but you're getting less and less clouds as the morning moves on. The sun's actually popping through now.
So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day, Big A.
Yeah, so it's going to be the beauty and the beast of the Belmont.
Very good, Pontiff. Very, very good. Yeah, we got a field of 10. I talked to Andrew Byrne from the New York Racing Association. There was one that was cross-entered of the three-headed monster for, well, two from Maker, but three Diamonds Farms. And Prize Fight is actually on the van on the way over here, so he won't run earlier today in the Pennine Ridge at Belmont. He'll run here. Looks like we have a field of 10. We talked to Tim Yakin earlier. And big score figures to be the favorite in here off that Transylvania win and that near miss in the American Turf, Christina.
Yeah, it was great speaking with Tim and picking his brain on his thoughts of how big score is handling traveling and how he thinks he will perform today. Very competitive field here, and you have the likes of Holiday Stone, who actually ran second to Big Score in the Grade 3 Transylvania 2 back. Then you have another interesting horse in Time to Travel, who will be making his first start on the grass today.
Yeah, and Mike Matz has not been shy about running him. He ran him in Lexington, came back in the Sir Martin. He attended the pace and just flattened late. Now, you know, we're looking at just 2 weeks. And he wheels him back. He goes back to Hall of Famer Edgar Prado, a son of hearts spun out of a tactical hat there. There's plenty of pedigree there. I think you're more worried about the turnaround at this point in just 2 weeks than you are about the surface switch.
I definitely agree. He should be able to handle the grass. I don't normally like that angle, first time on the turf in a graded stake, but maybe he can handle it.
Yeah, a horse I like is on the outside, Frostmourne, who got the worst of it in the draw, post 10. Again, with this 7-furlong turf course layout here, there's enough time going into that first turn where his jockey, Gerardo Chi Jr., will work out a trip. 2-for-3 as a 2-year-old, came back off of just about a 6-month layoff to miss by a half length. That was a deceiving race, though. The Aqueduct turf course that day was a no-passing zone. Secretary at War got to the front. So Frostmourne couldn't get by. But like I said on the weekend stakes preview with Jude last night, the Woodhaven's, I think, just under 100,000. It's ungraded. When they hang up a half million in the grade two, that's the one you want to crank up for. And, you know, I would think second off the bench, this is something that Christoph is very good at, wins at almost 15%. I would think Frostmourne is going to be primed for a top effort. And you look at his overall form, you see the theatrical in his pedigree and the success on the wet turf courses. That's not something you often see with the theatricals, and I know the theatrical pedigree is they're few and far between now, but the fact that this horse ran so well on wet turf I think is just a testament to how good he is.
Well, and one example of running well on a yielding turf course was in that grade 3 Pilgrim. He ran fourth to Oscar Performance after a tough trip that day, so he definitely has potential. I myself, I'm going with the favorite in here, Big Score. I think he's going to be very tough to beat. Tim said he's a push-button horse. You can really put him anywhere you need. And a horse like that, I think there will be definitely some pace in here to chase. And I think he can get a really nice trip under Javier Castellano.
No Chad Brown, but you're not going to put up a half million without seeing the initials TAP. Todd Pletcher sends Bronson in. He's 4-1 on the morning line. Third start off of a couple of month break. Brooks put the blinkers on to win the English Channel down at Gulfstream Park. Last time out, Tyler Gaffalione going to fly in and ride this one for the first time in his 7-race career now when he starts tonight, but always got to keep an eye on Todd Pletcher. That wraps things up for this morning up here at Penn National. We'll send it back down to Mike and Jude, and we'll talk to you tonight, HRR Nation, 6 o'clock. We'll kick things off with the Penn Oaks at 10 after 6, live from Penn National Race Course. Back down to you guys.
All right, Anthony, Christina, looking forward to that coverage later tonight here on the network. And again, you can listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Post time for that grade 2 Penn Mile, the fifth running,
7:45 Eastern Time. Well, JT, most of HRN Nation excited about what's coming up next weekend at Belmont Park. We asked the poll question on our Twitter feed this morning. Are you still excited about the Belmont, even with no Triple Crown on the line? A resounding 80% weighing in with, yes, we are still excited. And so are we. Can't wait to get back to New York and check out Teddy's with our good friend Lou and all of our stomping grounds, and looking forward to all that racing action next Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day of racing, and we've talked about it the whole show. I can't wait to get there. Let's see who's going to win the Belmont.
Let's see who's going to win all those greatest stakes races that day. You want to join us next Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, with the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. We'll host that show live from Belmont. And then join us at 2 o'clock Eastern, 2 to 7, 5 hours of race coverage here on the network all next Saturday, and all presented by visitbarbados.org. Our thanks to all of our special guests this morning, Jenny Bowman and Tim Yachtine and John Sadler, for being with us. Our thanks to the Big A, Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal, for handling everything up at Penn National. Don't forget 6 Eastern tonight, coverage of the Grade 2 Penn Mile. For our producers, Lee Delapina, and for Chauncey, with all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time, and hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.